Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of Phoning It In, the Half-Faz Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Ian Dees, broadcasting to you semi-live from an undisclosed location somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. Now, you may notice slightly better sound quality in this episode. I can promise you that won't last. Typically, I record from my cell phone, hence the name of the podcast, and sometimes it's even across a crowded room with all kinds of crazy shit going on with, like, a really crappy-ass microphone on the cell phone, and, you know, it just doesn't lend itself really well to sound quality. But this podcast is not about quality. If you're looking for that, you're looking in the wrong place. Go talk to Adam Curry or somebody. Anyway, I've actually since recorded another episode or two's worth of content, but for various bizarre technical reasons, they keep getting deleted or misplaced or what have you. So, anyway, technical glitches notwithstanding, I'm back on track, and in fact, some of the reviews are already starting to pour in.
And it was just, it was so funny, and yet also, you know, kind of said a lot about the whole process.
Well, thank you. Now, actually, that quote was just from a book club meeting I attended recently. Yeah, book clubs. Good times. I joined a book club so I can seem all intellectual and stuff, and, you know, it's a good place to meet really hot women. And, I was very disappointed, though, because the book that they chose this time was neither Scratch nor Sniff. Very upset about that. I mean, I tried scratching and sniffing it, but it just smelled like, well, like other people's fingers, pretty much. And, you know, just kind of that library book smell, which I love. But as much as I love the library book smell, my dogs loved it even more. I used to have this dog, Coco, that would just chew up any kind of old, beloved, treasured, cherished, or library book, anything that smelled old and musty, like it had been through a lot of hands. And I remember having to go back to the Richardson Library and pay to replace a book on obedience training your dog that had very obviously been torn to shreds by a dog's jaws. This is the same dog that desecrated. I don't just mean pulling down off the shelf and chewing on a little bit, but tearing to pieces, and then in some cases crapping on them, desecrated holy books from multiple religious traditions, including a couple of Bibles. Funny, she left the Charles Darwin book untouched. I don't know what to make of that, but there you go. So, where was I? Book club. We were discussing, at this meeting, Julio Cortázar's Hopscotch, which is about
drag queen
everywhere party. Yeah. No. Hopscotch is about many things, but I'm pretty sure it's not about a drag queen that does Tupperware parties.
I need my Tupperware.
I know. We all want our Tupperware, but it'll have to wait for another book, like perhaps Tupperware, The Promise of Plastic in 1950s America by Alison J. Clark. Anyway, back to Hopscotch. Oh, boy. Where do I start? You know, it's kind of a gimmick book, you know? It's got a whole second section in which you're supposed to read the chapters in a very bizarre order that's laid out for you, or any random order you prefer. I haven't made it to that point in the book yet. The first part's kind of slow. Picture kind of Faulkner meets Kant as far as really dragging things out here. Not that I'm complaining, because there were some really naughty bits, and those you want to drag out. So it's not all bad or anything, but it's just kind of, I don't know, it's an acquired taste. I don't know that I'd recommend Hopscotch necessarily, but it's very, you know, it takes place in the suburbs of Paris, and they're traipsing through hotels, and they're listening to old jazz records and talking about philosophy into the night. So as you might expect from such a sophisticated book, our discussion that evening was quite highbrow. And extremely serious. So anyway, as I said, I wouldn't quite recommend Hopscotch to all my friends, but your mileage may vary. You might like it. And, well, as one of our commentators noted in her best Dr. Phil voice, a pancake still has two sides. Right, Dr. Phil?
No matter how flat a pancake is, it still has two sides.
And that's all the fun I have time for tonight. Join me next time as I take you through the entire universe in search of an answer to the question that's on everyone's mind. What's the difference between baklava and a balaclava? Until then, farewell.